grab a seat this morning if you'd like to. I want to say again, thank you so much for being here with us this Easter Sunday. I want to say a special welcome to those of you who are joining us online. We're glad you're here sharing part of your Easter Sunday with us this morning. Now, my name is Heath. I'm the pastor here. And as I was thinking back over my life and thinking about Easter specifically, couldn't help but look back at some of the most memorable moments of my life. And most all of them, especially as a kid growing up, revolved around sitting around the table with my family. Lots of meals, conversations. We would get together for Thanksgiving or Christmas or Easter, whatever the case may be. We were going to sit around, we were going to have a meal together. And there was something really powerful about that, because when we're sitting around the table with those that we love, our relationship just seems to grow a little bit deeper. There's just something powerful, something special about that relationship. And, you know, honestly, if I look back at my life even now, some of the most memorable moments in my life today revolve around the table. Part of that's because I just really love food. But the big reason is because life change can happen around the table. There's something powerful that goes on there. And when we invite someone to our table, it's a little bit scary. It's a little bit vulnerable, isn't it? Essentially, we're inviting someone to come close when we invite them to have a seat at our table. Jesus understood this principle, and he was in the habit of inviting people to sit at his table. In fact, in the image that we're about to put on the screen for you, it's probably the most well-known table in the world. It's Da Vinci's painting of the Last Supper. We see this all over the world, and we can determine that, yeah, most everybody knows what's going on here. It's Jesus, and he's having a meal with his disciples, final meal that he'll have on earth before he dies and then rises from the dead again. How incredible would it be to be invited to the table with Jesus? But not just any table, that table. The last time that Jesus was going to have a meal with anyone on earth before he died and rose again was at this table. And man, the invitation to go to that table, that would have been incredible. And so what I thought we would do this morning is take a look at those who are sitting around the table with Jesus, those who received that invitation to be with him at that final meal. So this morning, we're going to take a look at a document written by a guy named Luke. Now, Luke was a historian. He thoroughly investigated Jesus. He did eyewitnesses and interviewed them, and he looked at all this data, all of this research, all of these interviews that he had compiled over time, and based on everything that he found, based on his analysis, he became a follower of Jesus. And he tells us in the very beginning of his document, he said, "My purpose in writing this entire thing is so that those who follow after me will have a detailed account of the life and teachings and ministry of Jesus." So this morning, we're going to take a look in what we call the New Testament Gospel of Luke. It's in our English Bibles. We're going to spend a lot of time in Luke chapter 22. But we're also going to jump to Luke chapter 6, Luke chapter 24, and then we'll finish up in Revelation chapter 3. So if you have a Bible or a Bible app on a device you brought in with you, I want to encourage you to bookmark it to Luke. We'll have the passages on the screen for you as well. And we're going to read through quite a bit of scripture this morning. So if you didn't bring a Bible or you've got something to just jot down notes, I would encourage you to go back and read this when you get home this afternoon after you've had a nice lunch and getting ready to take a little nap. Go back and read over these passages of scriptures that we're going to take a look at this morning. So Luke chapter 22, verse 14 is where we're going to begin. "When the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table." Now, Luke is giving some detailed information here. He says this time, when time was finally there, what time? Just before Jesus was going to be crucified. Just before Jesus was going to pay for the sins of the world in his own body, Jesus and the apostles sat down at the table together. And we know who the apostles were because Luke tells us in Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 13, here's what he tells us. At daybreak, he called together all of his disciples, all of the people who had been following him, and he chose 12 of them to be apostles. So what we see at this table that Jesus is having this Last Supper with, that it's an exclusive table. It's Jesus plus 12. And here are the names of the 12, starting in verse 14. Simon, whom he named Peter, Andrew, Peter's brother, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot. These are the 12 men seated around the table with Jesus for the Last Supper. These are the guys who got that special invitation for this last meal with Jesus. Well, we know their names, but now let's get a little bit of information about their stories. And I want to start with the guy who Luke listed last, Judas Iscariot. Judas had a seat at the table, and yet Judas later betrayed Jesus. Listen to what Luke writes about him in Luke chapter 22, starting in verse 1. The festival of unleavened bread, which is also called Passover, was approaching. The leading priests and teachers of religious law were plotting how to kill Jesus, but they were afraid of the people's reaction. In verse 3, then Satan entered into Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12 disciples. Verse 4. And he went to the leading priests and the captains of the temple guard to discuss the best way to betray Jesus to them. They were delighted, and so they promised to give him money. And then verse 6 tells us, so he agreed and began looking for an opportunity to betray Jesus so they could arrest him when the crowds were not around. This guy, Judas, betrayed Jesus, and yet he had an invitation to the table. None of us would invite someone that we knew who would betray us. And yet Jesus, in spite of Judas's betrayal, invites him close. He says, there's room for you at my table. The next guy we'll take a look at this morning is Peter. Peter was committed. Peter was one of those guys who was willing to leave everything he had ever known and follow Jesus. Man, he was passionate. He said, I'm willing to die following Jesus. And while those words may represent him just a little bit, Luke has something a little different to say about him. Let's look at what he says in Luke 22, verses 54 and following. So they arrested Jesus and led him to the high priest's home. And Peter followed at a distance. The guards lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat around it. And Peter joined them there, verses 56 and 57. A servant girl noticed him in the firelight and began staring at him. Finally, she said, this man was one of Jesus' followers, but Peter denied it. Woman, he said, I don't even know him. We keep reading in 58 and 59. After a while, someone else looked at him and said, you must be one of them. No, man, I'm not, Peter retorted. About an hour later, someone else insisted, this must be one of them because he is Galilean too. But Peter said, man, I don't know what you're talking about. And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. At that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And suddenly, the Lord's words flashed through Peter's mind. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny three times that you even know me. And Peter left the courtyard weeping bitterly. This guy who was so committed, this guy who was so passionate, this guy who was willing to die for his faith in Jesus, denied Jesus. Not one time, but three times. And yet his denial didn't cause Jesus to say, I'm going to deny you a seat at the table. Instead, Jesus offered him a chair. Now, this third example we're going to look at this morning isn't one specific person. It actually involves 11 out of the 12 disciples. And the only reason it doesn't involve the 12th disciple is because by this point in time, Judas is dead. In Luke chapter 24, we read the story of a couple of guys who had been on a journey. They traveled from Jerusalem to Emmaus after Jesus had been crucified. And they were talking about all the things that were going on. And as they traveled on their journey, Jesus shows up on the road. And he begins to teach them. And they get to where they're going, and Jesus walks in and he breaks the bread, and their eyes are opened. And they recognize that Jesus is there. And then immediately Jesus is gone. And they say, man, didn't our hearts burn when he told us the scriptures, when he taught us all these things? Man, weren't our hearts on fire? And we read this in Luke chapter 24, starting in verse 33. And within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them, who said, the Lord has really risen. He appeared to Peter. Verse 35. Then the two from Emmaus told their story of how Jesus had appeared to them as they were walking along the road and how they recognized him as he was breaking the bread. And just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. But the whole group was startled, thinking they were seeing a ghost. Why are you frightened? He asked. Why are your hearts filled with doubt? Look at my hands. Look at my feet. You can see it's really me. Touch me and make sure I'm not a ghost. Because ghosts don't have bodies as you see that I do. And as he spoke, he showed them his hands and his feet. The men who knew Jesus best, the men who had heard Jesus say, I'm going to die and I'm going to come back to life. The men who knew Jesus the best doubted him the most. And yet, their doubt didn't cause Jesus to deny them access to the table. So what we have to realize this morning is that table wasn't as exclusive, maybe, as we think it might have been. See, the apostles' imperfections didn't push their invitation away. The apostles' imperfections and failures, their betrayal, their denial, their doubts, didn't cause Jesus to say, hey, somebody else is going to take your seat. You didn't measure up. I'm going to look for someone who's got it together a little bit better than you do. He didn't say those things. He still invited them to come and have a seat at his table. And the even better news for us this morning is that our imperfections do not push our invitation to the table away. Doesn't matter the things that have happened in our lives, how we maybe, like Judas, have betrayed Jesus. Maybe we had a relationship with him once upon a time. But for way too many reasons for us to name, we're not living our lives as a follower of Jesus. Maybe, like Judas, we've turned to the world looking for the world to pay us something, to give us something. And so we've walked away from our relationship with Jesus. Well, that decision to betray him doesn't cause Jesus to turn and offer our chair to someone else. He says, you still have a place at the table. Come and sit with me. Maybe there are others of us in the room this morning who we line up a little bit more with Peter's story. Maybe for us, the easy thing to do was to deny that we knew who Jesus was because we just didn't want to face the pressure. We didn't want to have to answer the questions. We didn't want to have to deal with all the headache and the ridicule that might come our way from the people that we run with. And so, like Peter, we just simply said, man, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't even know who he is. But the fact that if we're in a room and we've denied Jesus, he's not denying us. He doesn't say, hey, I'm done with you. You turned your back on me, I'm going to turn my back on you. He doesn't say that. He says, come on, I've got room for you at my table too. Maybe our story is a lot like all 11, and we have more questions than we have answers when it comes to faith. Maybe, in fact, we have more doubt than we have faith in general. Jesus isn't intimidated by our questions. He isn't intimidated by our doubts. In fact, he welcomes them. He says, hey, come sit down. Let's talk. Let's have relationship. Let's grow in relationship with one another. Bring your doubts. Bring your questions. Bring your concerns. Because they don't scare me. This invitation to the table that Jesus offers us, it's an open-ended invitation. No strings attached. He isn't looking for us to be perfect before we come to his table. He simply wants us to accept his invitation. Here's what he had to say about it in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. He says, look, I stand at the door and knock. And anyone who hears my voice and opens the door to me, I will come in and sit with him. And we'll share a meal together as friends. The only prerequisite to coming to the table of Jesus is that we accept his invitation for salvation. On that night of the Last Supper, Jesus took bread and he broke it in two. And he passed out to his disciples. And then he took the cup and he filled it with wine and he passed it to his disciples. And he said, this bread that's broken before you, this is my body that will be broken for the world. And this cup that's filled with wine, this is my blood of the new covenant that will be poured out for the world. Essentially, what Jesus was saying is the only way to come to the table with him is through his death and resurrection. The only way we can come and sit at the table with Jesus is to come through the sacrifice that he made for us in his own body. So this morning, I want to ask us to do something. I want to ask us to consider Jesus. Consider his invitation. Consider the fact that at the table, there's a chair, and it has your name on it. And if you're in the room this morning and you've never experienced that invitation, you've never said yes to that invitation, you've never came and taken a seat at the table with Jesus, then today is the perfect day to do that. There's no hoop to jump through. There's no secret sauce or special prayer that you have to pray. It's as simple as saying, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I believe you are who you say you are. Would you forgive my sin and save me? I put my trust in you. It's as simple as that. And when we make that decision, when we say yes to Jesus, there's a place at the table that we can come and sit down and our relationship can grow. We can become more like him. Now, in a room with this many people this morning, chances are there may be someone here who's never accepted this free gift of salvation. Maybe chances are even greater that there's someone in the room who at one point in time prayed a prayer, cried a couple of tears, but honestly, really isn't living for Jesus. And so here's what I want to ask everyone to do. This may be a little different, a little weird, but here's what I want to ask everyone to do. We're going to pull the lights down just a little bit. I want to ask everyone, if you would, to just stand right where you're at. And if you would be so kind as to just close your eyes and bow your head and not look around. This is just a really kind of a serious, intimate moment. In just a moment, the band is going to come back and they're going to play one final song for us. But right now, at this moment, while everybody has their heads bowed, their eyes closed, nobody's looking around, it's just me and Jesus this morning. I want to assure you this from the very beginning. I will not embarrass you. I'm not coming to get you. I'm not going to come and target you if when church is over, okay? But here's what I want to ask you to do. If you're in the room this morning and you need to say yes to Jesus for the very first time, or you need to say yes to Jesus for the very first time today, and recommit yourself to him. While nobody's looking, it's just me and Jesus. If that's you, would you just really quickly just raise your hand and pull it right back down? I just want to know how I can pray for you this week. Thank you so much for being honest. I see the hands going up everywhere. Thank you so much for that. I'm so proud of you. But more than anything, Jesus is so proud of you. Father, thank you for those who lifted their hands and for those who wanted to, but God, they just weren't quite ready. I pray more than anything, God, that our hearts and our minds would be sensitive to you and that we would say yes to that invitation that you offer us. Father, in the next few moments, we're going to spend some time in worship. We're going to share in communion together. Father, I pray that this would be a holy moment. And that we would remember your broken body and your shed blood. Because it's through your body and through your blood that we have a seat at the table. Father, we love you and we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.